in a moment of prayer, and we're still calling on our Lord to touch Sister Brenda. And allowing God's mighty hand to be at work, allowing God and His mighty angels to war as we petition Him. So, Father, we're just going to lift her up right now. If you guys will agree with me this moment to pray for Sister Brenda, Father, we lift her up before your throne, very thankful for every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect report, every good and mighty thing that you do, Father, over her, over her heart, over her physical body, over her mind. Lord, we agree with everything that you have destined for her. We agree, Father, that you're an awesome God and you're working right now as we're praying and believing. We know, God, that your hand is at work, Lord. And we just come against the enemy, the lies, every evil thing that is not of you. We just eradicate it with the blood of Christ. We place it under there to be answered for and to never be remembered, because you are who you say you are. Because sin, death, and the grave have been defeated. And we stand on that right now in Jesus' name. And we say, let that room be filled with your presence, God. Let it overshadow anything that is not of you. Even right now, as we're all believing and praying, Father, let your mighty breath, your mighty presence overwhelm that room, God. So that healing is in that room right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Healing is touching her. Jesus, you are there with her, and you are literally holding her hand right now, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you are working right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We speak from every tissue to every cell to every bone to the marrow to the flesh to every smallest and biggest part of that body. Let it be healed in Jesus' name. And we just speak healing right now in Jesus' name to come in like a flood and to wash over Sister Brenda, your child, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you in this manner. We thank you, Lord, that you're never asleep, that you're always at work, God, even when we don't see it. And we thank you that you're so faithful, God. We thank you for the day that you've given us, that we can celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he is, and everything that he's done, Lord, that we can literally walk it out within our hearts, literally use it as a time to connect with you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that, again, sin has been defeated, that death has been defeated, that the lies have no power in our lives anymore because of what you did, Jesus Christ, and that your love in the form of your blood has washed away everything that is not of you. So we are here today to celebrate you, Father. We're here today to reverence you, Lord. We're here today to agree with you. We're here today to say our hearts are yours and let them be open completely to everything that you have to do within us. In Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Well, let's just sing this out to the Lord.
With my heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, with my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice. I will bring a sacrifice. 'Cause I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down.
Lay us down.
giving up all my rights. Take this life and let it shine, shine, shine. Take this life and let it shine, shine for you, Lord.
That there can be joy in letting go. Come on. How many knows there can be joy in letting go? Amen. God, this morning we say, God, we literally just let go of our will this morning. God, and it is our joy to say your will, not our will, but your will, God, be done. Lord, and we just thank you for that, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Let's just sing that and declare that over our lives one more time. Cause it will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way, always. Yes, Jesus, we can encourage our spirit with that this morning. Cause it will be my joy to say, yes, Lord, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It
will be my joy to say, your way, always. Thank you,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, there's victory in that name this morning.
Jesus, 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 your name.
Glorious God. Yes, Lord. God, at your name, literally at your name, demons tremble, God. Lord, at your name, Jesus, victory is won. At your name, Jesus, the grave was overcome, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that this morning, that we do not serve a dead God, but we serve a God that is alive, that is well, that is risen. Hallelujah, God, we worship you this morning. Come on, church, we have something to get excited about. We serve a living God. Yes, we do, Lord. We serve a living God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, come on, just declare it with all your heart. Jesus, 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 your name.
Your beauty, your Your splendor, Your glory knows no measure. There's no one higher than You. Oh, You, You are always with us, gracious to forgive us. By Your power, we've been set free. 'Cause Lord, we stand amazed in Your presence, astounded by Your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough.
Come on, there's no one higher.
Verse one more time, and as we sing this, I just want us to declare it. Let's just declare it this morning. There's no one greater.
There is none higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able. Christ our Savior. Let my life forever praise
your glory, we press into your presence, Jesus. Just sing this again to the Lord. I believe God is doing something in this place this morning. Yes, Lord.
When I look upon the glory of your throne, and I'm blinded by your love that flows, and nothing on this earth compares to you. beauty, behold his beauty. Behold, behold his beauty, behold his beauty. Behold his beauty, behold his beauty.
Christ died to make us perfect, amen, in him.
And I am made perfect, I am made clean, I am all that you want me to be, oh, and I am yours.
And then this is what happens after God makes us perfect. For great is he who lives inside of me. For great is he who lives inside of me. Yes, it is. For great is he who lives inside of me.
Just hear some of you this morning say, but you don't know me. I'm not perfect. I'm not clean. I'm a mess. And that may be the case on the outside. That may be the case of your actions. Maybe things that you've done. But do not believe the lie that your righteousness is based on your acts. Do not believe the lie that your being made perfect is somehow up to you, because it is not. You are freely given the gift of perfection. Just as you're freely given salvation, the same time you're given the gift of perfection.
You're given the gift of being made clean. That you are squeaky clean. There's nothing in you that has God's disapproval. You are fully approved. You are fully loved. You are fully accepted in the beloved. The lie of the enemy would come and try to say, no, but you've did this, you've done that, you've acted this way, you've acted that way. You need to sing this song in your heart. I am made perfect. I am made clean. I am all that He wants me to be. And why? Why? Because He has risen. He has overcome death, hell, and the grave. Because in His death and burial, your old nature dies. Your old nature is hidden in Christ. It's gone. He became sin who knew no sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. So if you've sang through this a couple times, trying to believe that, or even just rejecting it and singing it anyway, I ask you to embrace it this time as we sing this one more time. There's a release of the anointing of God in this song that I believe is doing some things in our hearts, especially those who have felt wayward from the Lord. It's drawing you close to Himself. He's letting you look at His beauty, the glorious light of His perfection. Thank you, Jesus. One more time.
When I look upon the glory of Your throne, I'm blinded by Your love.
For great
out of me. Oh, great is He who lives inside of me. For great is He who lives inside of me. Oh, He lives. He lives. He lives. Yes, He lives. He lives. Yes, He
to expound on what Pastor Mike was talking about. When the Lord was hanging on the cross, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and there were the two guys next to Him, and the one guy looked at Him and said, "Remember me. Remember me." He was made perfect. He didn't have to do this long list of chores, this long list of, "Well, you don't know, I killed a guy, or I stole this, or I did that, or I smoked this, or I shot this up, or I beat this person, I did this, I did that." He was made perfect, just like that. And He was in paradise that day with Jesus. We are our own worst enemies, our brain. "Well, you don't get it, you don't get it." No. It doesn't matter, because we are made perfect in His sight. So whoever it is that's struggling with that right now, take that step of faith and say, "All right, God, I'm going to stand on Your word. I'm going to stand on what You say, Father God. I'm not going to stand on what the enemy says, because I am made perfect in Your eyes, Father God, in Your eyes." Father God, I just pray a release in this room right now, Father God, from the lies of the enemy, Father God. They are no longer going to hold this body of believers, Father God, in chains, Father God. But those chains are breaking right now by the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. We thank you for your freedom, Father God. We thank you for that. We thank you for what you did on the cross for us, Father God. We thank you that we can be in paradise with you, Father God.
I just learned recently how much my faith is with God. God is higher. God is greater. He holds on to you. Like Stephen said, we are our own worst enemies. It's not easy to let things go. Whether it be struggles, worries. But the more we struggle, the more it gets inside here, allowing Satan to just grab a hold of you. What I've learned is to always let go. Let His will be done. Let His power come forth. And each time that we come to Him, He will show, whether it not be today but tomorrow, but He will always be there. And the more faith we have in Him, all that we have of worries and discouragement will diminish. And we know that the power of God will always lead us out of temptations. He made us clean in our hearts. He made us perfect. He made us the way He wanted us to. God risen just to show us through flesh. And He came back in the flesh just to show us that we are made perfect. Our faith, our hope in Him, just as all the songs we've been singing, God is our Father. And all we need is that faith. And the more we struggle, the more we realize we don't need to have that struggle, because we have God on our corner. God will always cover us. And God will always heal. God will always has a hand on us. And it is our own faith in our minds, our bodies, and our souls, the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that makes it God's will and God's plans.
Thank you.
inside of me.
Let's sing that.
Great is He who lives inside of me. Great is He who lives inside of me.
Thank you, Lord, for living. Yes, thank you, Lord, for living. You are alive and well. We thank you for that, Lord, that you're alive and well. Because you're alive and well, Lord, you make us alive and well. That we just don't live and have our being and we're moving around this earth because you've given us life, Lord, but you've given us abundant life. We're alive and well because of you, God. And we thank you for that. We glorify you today for your work, Lord, that you have done. And the work that you're doing in our lives, Lord, we glorify you and we thank you for it. And we ask you to continue your work in our lives. Continue, Lord, to bring full perfection, Lord, not only as you've done in the inside, Lord, but in this outside, this outward man. Let us have your character. Let us walk in your ways. Let it be that when people see us, Lord, that they see you. We just thank you, Lord, that you're living inside of each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you take a moment, greet someone, bless them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Seven? Tomorrow, huh? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. You guys are a friendly bunch. That's good, though. Well, before I call the children up, Stephen has an announcement, and then we have a sheet to go around, a sign-up sheet. Here you go, Stephen.
Oh, good. So spring is here, and we are in full work mode out in the yard. So we are in need of some volunteers to do some weekly maintenance, not just our work days, but we're going to get a couple volunteers to help mow the lawn and weed eat and blow the sidewalks off after you're done. If we're going to do two-person teams, and two people can get the yard done in about hour and a half to 2 hours. So it's not a lot of work, and if we can get enough people to sign up, from us. We're going to get a couple from the Spanish congregation as well, and just get a good crew rotating through. And I'll put on a couple, because we have a pretty big lawnmower and whatnot, and so I'll put on a day where everybody will come at once, and we'll learn how to use all the equipment and work it efficiently. The church is also going to buy another little lawnmower to do some of these crazy hills that we have around here, because those aren't too fun with the big one. But if we could get, you know, a few volunteers, and it would be, we would be doing it either on a Friday or a Saturday. That way it looks really sharp for Sunday, you know, and that would go in after after we get all the volunteers signed up. That would be at your discretion what day you wanted to do it. So we're going to go ahead and pass this around, and your name and your phone number, whatever phone number you can be reached at, preferably a cell phone so we can text to send out reminders and whatnot is the best. If not, just specify whether it's a cell phone or a home number so we can reach you accordingly. Is that good? All right.
Yes. Standing ovation for those who will work in the yard. What's that? You'll do all the digging? One arm digging? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, if the children would please come up. Oh, and I wanted to let you know that the nursery is now open for anyone who would like to take their babies to the nursery. We had our team upstairs this morning during the worship time, but it's open now, so praise the Lord. You guys ready for a great day? And yes, and tomorrow, D'Angelo, you're going to be 7, huh? All right, happy birthday tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Well, would you stretch forth your hand? We're going to pray for the children. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your kids. God, that you are, Lord, at work in their lives, Lord, in this day, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would allow them to be used by you for your glory, to know you, Lord, intimately, even in these young years. And God, that they would not just wait till they grow up to be fully operational, Lord, by your Spirit. I pray, God, that in these days, Lord, you would allow them to move and become who you've called them to be. We just bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's your teachers back there waiting for you, ready to go down. Stephen wanted me to tell you that if we get enough volunteers, that's more than like probably 4 teams, you probably only would have to do it once a month. And anybody who doesn't think that they're good at yard work, be me, just know that if you just allow yourself to be used in a good way, not in a bad way, but used by the Lord, it kind of sets the stage for other things in the future. It's like sometimes when we're faithful in little small things, God allows us to be given other greater responsibilities. So that goes for people who clean the church. Thank you for everyone who does take the time to clean the church. Thank you for everyone who helps on work days. All those little tasks that seem menial are not in the kingdom of God, because they all add up to being faithful. And as we're faithful in little, God allows us to be faithful in great things. Amen? Well, today is Resurrection Day. And I'm wondering why I'm going to preach what I'm going to preach. But about 2 years ago, the Lord put on my heart that we had become kind of as a society fixated on Easter like it was the only day really to celebrate Christ's resurrection.
And I think the title of the sermon was Easter, Just Another Day. And it was hard for me to even title that, but my point was being that Easter should be every day. Resurrection Day should be every day. And actually, when someone receives Christ as a Savior, then resurrection power comes into them. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives life to their mortal bodies. And so, in the spirit of believing that every day should be like Easter, I wanted to just preach a regular sermon. And I know that'd be like, you know, again, like sacrilege if I just preach something that had nothing to do with Easter at all. But the thing that we have to understand is if we're preaching Christ, whether we're preaching his crucifixion or whether we're preaching something from his parables, something, we're preaching his resurrection, because the very fact that he lives now empowers what he did then. Does that make sense? The very fact that he rose from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave gives power to everything that he did from the time of being born to the time of dying on the cross. And so, with that said, I wanted to focus on something that transpired before he rose from the dead and after he died on the cross. And the reason I believe that the Lord wants us to get this is because it kind of goes along with the service today. The message of the service today has been what? That you're made perfect, you're made clean, that he's higher than any other, and that because of that resurrection power that awoken him from death and gave him life and then moved into his glorified state, you and I are made in that same image now. Not just when we die, there's a supernatural life that we live now. There's a supernatural essence to who we are. It's actually even more real than this natural life. But I'm going to go ahead and read out of Matthew 12:39. I'm going to pray first because I really want the Lord to give life to these words. Father, we come before you right now, Lord, and we just ask that you would make alive, Lord, your words to our hearts, that Lord, what you want to say through these verses and what's communicated here would be something that we could take and have encouragement for our own lives and just realize that so much more was going on, Lord, when you were in that grave, Lord, that you were continuing ministry. And Lord, that same heart that you had, Lord, for those who were disobedient and seemed lost, Lord, you have for us, even in our wayward states at times, Lord. You're chasing after us. You're constantly preaching to us. You're constantly communicating your love to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And I just pray for those that may be here and don't truly know you, that you would allow them to receive the truth, God, that you're madly in love with them and you want to have a relationship with them and you want them to walk with you hand in hand, Lord, through the rest of life. So, Lord, I pray that you would just encourage all of our hearts today with your love and with your amazing, amazing work, Lord, of the cross, a demonstration of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 12:39 says this, "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here.'" So this is an interesting passage. Jesus is telling the people of his day that you're an evil, you're an adulterous generation, you're seeking after a sign. And I don't know what other kind of signs they needed. I mean, he was raising the dead. He was causing the blind to see. He was setting those who were oppressed with demons for years free. But they must have wanted some other kind of sign. And he said the only sign that they were going to get was the same sign that there was of Jonah. Now, I don't know if you guys know the story of Jonah. I don't have all the time to get into it. But Jonah was a prophet. And Jonah was a prophet who was a prophet probably to Israel for the most part. But he was given a directive by God to go to his enemies. Nineveh was a ruthless nation, and they had, you know, caused Israel a lot of pain. And God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to prophesy to them so that they'll repent, and I won't bring judgment. And Jonah said, I'm not going to my enemies. I'm not going. And so in disobedience, he went to a city and got on a boat and took off. And in disobedience, because of his disobedience, a great storm came upon the sea that he was on. And the ship was going like, what's going on? I mean, this is like the wrath of God. They knew it wasn't a normal storm. And so they're trying to figure out what they'd done wrong. They were trying to, you know, repent. And it sounded like Jonah was just like asleep in the bottom of the ship, you know, just sleeping away. And they come to him and they said, who are you? And he told them, well, I'm a prophet and I'm running from God. Oh, great. You're in disobedience. You're in our ship, you know. So basically what ended up happening is that Jonah got thrown into the ocean. And the Lord said in his word that he prepared. Now keep this in mind. This is a sign of Jonah. He prepared a great fish for Jonah. So Jonah, in his disobedience, ended up being in the belly of a well or some kind of big, big, big fish. The biggest fish I can think of is a well. Well. I think I said well. But anyway, so if you think about this, Jonah then ends up in this belly of this fish for 3 days and 3 nights and then repents and says, okay, God, forgive me. I will go to Nineveh. And he goes to Nineveh. Fish spits him up on land and he goes to Nineveh. And Nineveh repents, and that's why Jesus is saying, listen, the people of Nineveh repented. I encourage you to read the book of Jonah. It's very interesting. So you say, Pastor Mike, what's that have to do with Jesus being in the grave? Well, Jonah's act of being in the grave was because of disobedience. I mean, in the well, it's like the grave for him. He probably thought he was dead. Was because of disobedience. Jesus' act of being in the heart of the earth was for obedience' sake. See, he learned obedience even to the obedience of the point of death. And that death wasn't just, you know, he just died. He died the horrible death of a cross. Now, Jonah, I don't think, had much going on in the belly of the fish. I believe he was probably just wanting to, you know, have the whole thing get, because basically, I don't know if you guys know it, but he was being digested. There's some people that say that when Jonah was walking in Nineveh, he may have been bright white from the acid of the stomach of the fish, and that was part of a sign to Nineveh that this man looked like a dead man walking around. Probably why they were so eager to listen to his message. He may have also smelt like something that was dead. But Jesus didn't just lay in his grave. See, so many people think that Jesus was just in this tomb, hidden away, waiting for something to happen, and then he was going to come out. But folks, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus was at work. Jesus was very busy those 3 days. Do you guys believe me? Let's look at the word. If we turn, let's see, where do I want to start, Lord? Let's start in, hang on, I didn't get that. Hold on. We'll start at Psalm 68, 18. We'll use the Old Testament verse before we go to the New Testament in Ephesians. It says this, you have ascended on high, You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. And I believe that is in also Ephesians 4 is quoted. It says here in Ephesians 4, 8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lowest parts of the earth. So Jesus dies, his body is laying there, but I think you said it, Stephen, to the thief on the cross, he says, today, not 3 days from now, but today you're going to be with me in paradise. So when Jesus died, again, that his body may have stayed there, but he went and he did a work. And what we have to understand is that his goal, his objective now, was to receive to himself those souls that had passed in disobedience. In other words, these were the people that had died between Adam, I believe, and the cross, and had not had an opportunity to receive Christ. Now, because there's some, it sounds like, even in the, you know, days before Jesus came, somehow they saw Jesus, and they had received him in their heart, even though he had not come yet. But I believe there were others who had not received the good news. So he led captivity captive. Okay, follow with me now. First Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So Jesus being put to death in the flesh, but then him being made alive in the spirit. And that's exactly what has happened to us. Our death has been, our flesh has been put to death, and then we have been made alive in the spirit to God. Then listen to this. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. So Jesus is dying on the cross, and he says, Father, it is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And then it says that he gave up the spirit, he gave up the ghost. At that point, Jesus went into a mode to redeem those who had been lost. For all practical purposes, they had been lost. They were in prison. They were captives. That word captivity means prisoners. People who had been carried away into, I believe, a place that they didn't want to be. See, what I'm trying to tell you today is that Jesus redeemed those who probably had at some point thought that there was no hope. Some people say, well, he just got the ones in paradise. But if you follow with me here into 1 Peter 4:5, listen to this. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor Mike, why are you telling me this? Because what I'm trying to tell you is that so many of us get to the place where we think we've disqualified ourselves, that we have made it so that God can't use us, that we're second-class citizens in God's kingdom. But I'm here to tell you, God went and redeemed those who looked like there was no hope at all. Christ went and preached to those who were in a supernatural prison. And I believe they had an opportunity to receive him. He went after those who seemed like all hope was gone. So I'm telling you here, if you're here today and you feel like all hope is gone, it's not. It's not. And I believe God's love goes beyond what we think the normal life is. I think God's love goes to the very depths of who we are to reach us. I was with a gal about 2 months ago, and she had come here, and they were needing some money, and I was talking to her, and she was in a bad way, and she was saying that she had lost her son. She'd lost her son, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she says, "Oh, can you pray for him?" I said, "Well, I can pray for you. I really, you know, I can't really pray for him." And she goes, "Well, he committed suicide." And you could just see in her face that in her eyes, in her mind, maybe because of what she's been taught, that all hope was gone for him. That she was like just going, "Oh, he must be, you know, in just a horrible place." But I'm here to tell you that we can't limit God based on our actions. We can't. Whether you know it's somebody who's gone out of their mind, they cannot think and reason properly. And, you know, they do some kind of hideous crime, or whether they end up hurting themselves, or go off and start living life that looks like they're totally separated from God. But it's because their mind is gone. Now, some people will say, but, you know, they probably made, you know, let's not go there. Let's just say that God's love is amazing. God's power is great. If he would go to those who were totally disobedient to him, it sounds like a lot of them were from Noah's generation. I mean, he destroyed the whole earth at that point, except for 8 that were saved. The rest, I'm done with you. And yet, I believe Jesus showed up there and said, "Hey, guys, I know you got it all wrong, but listen, I'm Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the anointed one. And I want to lead you out of this place of torment, of no hope." He was busy for 3 days. It says in another place that he made a public spectacle of the devil. So let's just picture this. What if the devil thinks he's got all these people? Yeah, people walk in disobedience. God judged them and everything, and they're mine. And Jesus comes and says, "Hold it a moment. You don't have the last word. I do. And let me give my word to them." And all of a sudden, those who have been once lost are being found. Do you see the power of this? If Jesus would do this for the dead, how much more for the alive? You can't write people off. His heart is for all to come to repentance and know him. And I don't care if you have a relative that you think there's no way God can touch them. I've heard him reject God. I've heard them say, "Curse God to my face. There's no way God." I'm telling you, you're wrong. The love of God can reach in and heal that wounded heart and bring them to a place of love. Because that's what it is. It's a place of love, folks. When we turn our back and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for messing up," man, love of God floods your heart, floods your life. You're made new. And the resurrection power of Christ comes alive in you. That same spirit that made him come out of the tomb and stand before his disciples and 500 for sounds like almost 30-something days, telling them what work was done in him and would be done in them now because of that same power that would be working in them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you right now, Lord. And we just ask that that love, Lord, that you displayed, Lord, for those lost ones, God, that seemed to have no hope at all, that had been walking and living in disobedience to who you were, your love, your power, your commandments, your rulership, that you led them captive, Lord, with you. You led them away. You took them out of that place of prison and brought them into a place, Lord, of glory with you. God, I pray, Lord, that we would receive that same grace here today. Lord, I thank you that you rose from the dead, that there's no body that they was found. It wasn't just your spirit rose, Lord, it was your whole body, that the grave clothes were all that was left. And Lord, I believe you're doing that same work in us, that these physical bodies are being transformed, being renewed from glory to glory, day to day, Lord, into your image. Lord, because of that love that you have for us. Lord, I pray that your third day work, Lord, would take place here today in people's hearts who have been, Lord, in prison. In prison of their own actions, in prison of what others have done to them, in prison, God, of their environment around them, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just speak to their hearts and call them home. Call them to yourself. Let your love just seek them out. Holy Spirit, you are the one that convicts us, Lord, of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I pray that you just do your perfect work right now. Lord, for our loved ones, Lord, I want to pray. I want to lift up, Lord, those who may be in our lives, Lord, that have looked like there's no hope for them. We just come against that lie now in Jesus' name. And we just release your power over their lives. Lord, we release you to work in such a way, Lord, that no matter how hard their heart is, no matter how stained their thought processes are with the ways of the world, that you would permeate and break through and bring liberty to those captives. Jesus, send your love right now, Lord, and bring freedom. Lord, I just release your perfect will right now over their lives. That the enemy's plans would be thwarted, they would be reversed, and that your plan for them would be established. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you love us. You love us with an everlasting love, and we can't even comprehend it in our natural mind. But I pray in our soul, in the inner man that we are, that we would be able to receive it. We'd be able to comprehend it, Lord, so that we could embrace your love. We just thank you, Lord, for this time together. I thank you, God, that we can behold your beauty. We can behold your glory. We can see you face to face because of your work, Lord, that you've done for us, the work of the cross, the work of your resurrection. Help us to embrace, Lord, this life that you've given us and walk it in faith and please you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, that there's none on this earth that's without hope. And so, Lord, we stand in awe of you, Lord, of what you're going to do in the coming days, Lord, in our loved ones, in our friends, in our co-workers, God. You're going to do a mighty work. You're going to set captives free. You're going to lead more people into your freedom. And Lord, you're going to use some of us for that. So, Lord, I pray that as your children, as workers, Lord, in your kingdom, Lord, that we'd be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We'd be ready to speak, Lord. And, Lord, if we're afraid, give us the ability just to open our mouths, Lord, and we know that you will fill it. Give us the ability, Lord, to not lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways, Lord, when we're with them, and watch you touch their hearts. Lord, we know that these are significant days we live in. And Lord, we don't want to take one of them for granted. I pray right now, Lord, that we would draw so close to you in intimacy and in relationship, Lord, that as Pastor Josh prayed at the beginning of the service, that the separation and division, Lord, that the enemy tries to bring, that we would not have that common union with you, Lord. Be one, God, as you prayed for us to be one. Lord, that oneness would come. Lord, that we would realize, Lord, that there's nothing that separates us from your love, and there's nothing that separates us from you. That where we're in you, Lord, there's no division. And we just thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And that your eyes, Lord, are roaming this whole earth, looking for hearts that are turned towards you, committed to you, Lord, so you can show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, let us catch your gaze. Let us catch your attention, Lord, by our hearts being hungry, hungry for you. Thank you, Jesus. Nick, can we do that song again? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Is he who lives inside of me?
Got a text, and Gay's dad is being rushed to, he's in Florida right now. He drove all the way back to Florida. If you guys remember last year, he was right around this time fighting for his life, was in Harborview for several weeks, and he ended up fully recovering. I mean, he had things that he had to go through because of the extent of the damage from the bacteria, but he was basically, you know, strong, doing things, and he drove back to Florida. Well, we just got a text that he's being rushed to Panama City and that his kidneys are shutting down. So the enemy of our soul just keeps trying to throw lies and deception our way. But Father, we come to you right now, Lord, for Dad's behalf, Lord. And God, we know that, Lord, that you are, Lord, in his life. You are, Lord, the one that has brought him this far. You've given healing, Lord, when it seemed that all the doctors gave him no hope. So right now, in Jesus' name, we stand, Lord, on that word, God, that says that you are his healer. You are the one that has restored him, Lord, and will continue to restore him. We speak right now to his life, and we speak, Lord, over his body, and we say you must come into alignment with the word of God that says, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I am made heal. I am healed. Lord, we just deliver right now, God, him into your hands for healing. Lord, lift him up. Lift him up, God. Raise him up, Lord. Do not let his body shut down. Give him strength. Lord, I pray that you would just bring encouragement to the family, Lord, who are seeing this. Give them faith and confidence, Lord. There's no distance in the spirit, Lord. We gather around Dad right now, Lord, and we lift him before you. We supernaturally lay our hands on him and ask you to touch his body. We thank you, Lord, that he is your child and he is in your hands, your capable hands. And we hope in you. Thank you, Lord. Though the enemy rages, God has the last word. God has the last word. In your life, God has the last word. God has the last word. Does not matter what your circumstances look like. Does not matter what you're seen to be involved in or how deep you may be sinking into the pit of despair or the pit that looks like you're going to the grave. God has the last word. So just turn your life over to him. If he's going to redeem those who are dead and already in disobedience and go and redeem them back, how much more you who are alive now? Amen. God bless you. Have a great day with your families.